Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to flip the switch. The Rabbit Ears Broadcasting Network is on the air.
Has anybody got the guts?
But you are something, let me tell you. You are really something.
I don't like to put my television on in the living room. I only do it maybe odd days, like you said, because I don't want to burn out the bowl.
Right on this, like giving me a bottle of water and leave the water out of it.
But what will you do, though? So, you put your pants.
Because our opinion is all that matters.
I can't hear a word you're saying.
In the scope of the universe, how is that, what, how does that even matter?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Welcome to the 2G Show.
Welcome to the 2G Show, June the 4th, 2016, coming to you from Southwest Florida. This is the 2G Show, and this is NG. Of course, I'm joining each and every show. He's capable, he's funny, it's GG. How you doing, G?
What do you say? What do you hear?
All right, we are on the Blog Talk Radio Station. You can get a hold of us by dialing 619-393-6728. That's your way to listen on the show. You can hit the one button that gets you on the show, or at least get you in the lobby until we put you on the show. We're also in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/2G. I stay in Southwest Florida. I am a little jealous. I do see Camille on there. I'm a little jealous because this is when I get jealous. Out there, record heat out in Phoenix, Arizona. I think they're going to hit 118 degrees. Damn, the way I wish I was in that. I love that dry, sunny, no rain, no clouds, 118 degrees, brother. Man, don't we wish we were over there right now. How you doing, brother?
No, 118 is 118. I don't care, dry, wet, whatever. 118 is 118 anyway. Anyway, let's give it up to MG, who is a little under the weather, but, you know, he sucked it up, and here he is. He's on the show, so we gotta, let's give it up for MG and sucking it up and being on the show.
Why don't we have, thank you. Brother, why don't we have one of those clap tracks where everybody, you know, you have clapping and woo, you know, that'd have been nice, you know?
If we had a better production team, maybe we would have that, you know what I mean?
All right, brother, what do we got today? Thank you. What do we got?
Well, we all know that we have lost a sports icon, you can say, maybe one of the world's most known American athletes in our time. I mean, there's so much to say about, of course, the great Muhammad Ali, a.k.a. Cassius Clay. Here's a let's go to our British corresponding. And here's a little thing on Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali.
I can drown a drink of water and kill a dead tree. Wait till you see Muhammad Ali.
Boxing legend Muhammad Ali has died.
74-year-old had been increasingly frail after being hospitalized several times, most recently for respiratory issues. His health issues were complicated by the Parkinson's disease he suffered for the past three decades. The former heavyweight champion was at one point the most recognizable person in the world, known for his proclamation.
I never talk about who's going to stop me, and ain't nobody going to stop me. Not a heavyweight in the world fast enough to stop me.
Ali was born Cassius Clay and rose to fame after winning an Olympic gold medal in 1960 as a light heavyweight. By 1964, he was crowned heavyweight champion of the world after defeating Sonny Liston. It was the same year he changed his name to Muhammad Ali after embracing Islam.
Who you want me to fight? Who do the press want me to fight?
Who do you think you should fight?
The best man.
Who is the best man?
Who do you think? I don't know.
I'll leave it to you.
Find him.
Ali was also a social activist, refusing induction into the armed services based on his religious beliefs, taking a stance against the Vietnam War. Ali suffered career setbacks after being convicted of draft evasion in 1967. He was suspended from boxing and stripped of his titles, returning to the ring in 1970. A year later, he suffered a bruising 15-round loss to then-champion Joe Frazier in a bout that had been billed the fight of the century.
My predicted fight wouldn't go the distance.
Oh, well,
I'm stopping. Stop me, you!
But Ali bounced back and won in a rematch against Smokin' Joe in 1974. He regained his title that same year in the legendary Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire against George Foreman. His final fight against Trevor Burbick in 1981 would be the last time the legendary icon would take to the ring before being diagnosed with Parkinson's in 1984. Post-boxing, Ali led a quiet life away from the limelight for the most part. But in 1996, he would bring spectators to their feet as he lit the Olympic torch in Atlanta with his hands shaking from Parkinson's. Ali spent the later part of his life continuing to raise money and awareness for various charitable causes, including Parkinson's.
He's handled it like a champ. He's fought it like any other opponent he's had, raised a lot of money for research and awareness, and has really enhanced the Parkinson's community in his way. So just be happy for him. Muhammad said, my dad said, I've lived the life of 100 men.
And his courageous spirit never forgotten. Bonnie Ghosh, Associated Press, New York.
Well, brother, I think that was the passing of the great Muhammad Ali. Now, to be honest with everyone out there, I was not a Muhammad Ali fan. I was a Joe Frazier fan. I can't explain, you know, back in the day, the fight, I mean, I can't really explain it. You had to live through it. But if that was built as the greatest sports show or whatever spectacular you could ever be in the fighting business before. There's never one before that, and there's never been one after that. I mean, if you were to take, let's just say, the Mayweather Pacquiao fight that happened just recently, the Joe Frazier Muhammad Ali first fight, that Pacquiao and Mayweather fight couldn't even come close to the buildup and of that fight. And tremendous, tremendous fighter. I mean, boxing back then, they were the kings. They were the icons, boxing. The way it's amazing what happened to the fight game now. But back then, I mean, they were the head of the sports world. And nothing was bigger than that one fight, the Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali. The first fight was unbelievable. But condolences go out to the Ali family from the 2G show.
Yeah, but it's talking about boxing. It's never really been a big sport that I followed. There's only been two eras that I've really, really been interested in boxing. One other time is in the 80s when there was Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, and I think Roberto Duran. When those three were boxing, I was really interested in those three when they fought each other. And the other time, you know, I was young, was the Ali Frazier. I'm with you, maybe because I probably looked up, you know, I was young at the time. I was like 7 to 14, 15 years old during that time. I was a Joe Frazier fan too. I loved Joe Frazier. And I was a little young for the first one, but I remember the second one, the third one, we didn't have cable. I think the second one, we lived on East 4th Street, just near the end of that reign of 1974. So, and I remember waking up and having to go walk down and get the paper to see who won. Because I, you know, there was radio or nothing. There was nothing. And I remember picking up the paper and seeing that Ali beat Frazier in the second one. I was so distraught. And then, of course, the Thriller in Manila, which happened, I think, in 1975. So I'm with you with Frazier, but Muhammad Ali was larger than life. So the boxing to me has never been the same. And that was the era right there with Frazier, Ali, you put Foreman in there, Ken Norton. When you had those four guys fighting, and I remember Norton, I think, versus, correct me if I'm wrong, Ali, and he broke Ali's jaw. And I think it was in Yankee Stadium. And I think that they thought Norton won that fight, and then Ali got it. I remember that fight. And then one other thing, brother, I was watching, you know, all the news on the social media. And there's one time when this guy was trying to punch, I don't know who it was, Ali, and he took 21 shots. 21, have you ever seen it? There's 21 punches. He misses all of them. The way he's bobbling and weaving, it's amazing. Did you ever see that one?
No, I didn't see that one.
I'll have to send that to you. Yeah, he's in the corner, and this guy, I don't know who it is. And the guy swings to the count 21 times. And he misses 21 times, and then Ali gets a little jiggle. You know, he gets a jiggly, you know the jiggly?
Yeah.
You know, to mock him. He gets a little jiggly. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, unbelievable. But that's my memories of Ali. Definitely was Frazier and Ali.
Just to let you, I mean, you can't explain how huge that first fight was. I mean, everyone was there. Everyone talked about it at the Madison Square Garden. I mean, it was, you're either an Ali fan or a Frazier fan. And then, of course, you know, growing up, I was also very young back then when it happened. I was a little older than you, but I was very young. And I learned to Joe Frazier, and I remember that I got into a little shouting match in high school there when the next day after the show that Frazier won and busted up, you know, Ali's jaw a little there. The guy was telling me that Ali won and all that. We got into a little shouting match, but I remember that. But the thing about the Thriller in Manila, I mean, you mentioned that one. Ali got up off the chair and he stand up, and he said that if Frazier would have got off that stool and stood up, he would have sat down. He could not go on any further. The only reason why he won that fight is because he got up first, and Frazier couldn't move.
I think Eddie Fudge or something was Frazier's man, and I think he conceded the fight prior to the 15th round, if I'm not mistaken there. Eddie something, his name was Fudge.
Yeah, Eddie Fudge.
Yeah.
Long time, you know, Frazier trainer. Yeah, and people don't realize, back then it was 15 rounds, and they fought. I mean, they fought 15 rounds, not like today. And but of course the great saying was before he met Liston in his first fight, you know, everyone knows that you float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. His hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. The great Muhammad Ali dies at the age of 74.
Yep, we lost a quick sports icon. All right, brother. Get some business. 619-393-6728. What else going on, brother? World of shows. I'm not going to watch. I said I wasn't going to watch America's Got Talent. I don't think I'm going to watch it, but I watched it live because I was not feeling good. I decided to feel bad Tuesday. So I was laying in bed and I didn't really feel like going to the living room. So I watched it. I don't know. Did you watch AGT yet or you're not caught up?
No, I watched it. I watched the first episode.
Two actually amazed me, but I thought that the guy with the tape on his mouth, I was coughing because I didn't feel good. And when he did the lady in red and his hand kept moving down to the butt, and did you think that was funny?
That was funny. I thought that was funny.
I thought it was funny, and I thought the act was amazing. Where the lady is blindfolded, she's on top of the stage, and then the guy, her husband, goes in the audience, And he just has people raise their hand, and he picks somebody out, and then he takes the object that they have, and she guesses not only what it is, she gets tells him the serial number. If it's eye lotion, she gives you the expiration date. One thing you have to think about that, even though it's amazing, how come she has to hold it? Did you ever ask yourself that question? Why can't the people just hold it up and say, okay, what do I got? It's amazing that he has to hold it. There's got to be something to the fact that he's holding it.
There's got to be a little camera, you know, on him or something. And when you put those blindfolds, I don't know, you know, I don't know how they do this crap. You know what I mean? It's amazing. But, you know, as you would say, it was supernatural. But there's got to be some kind of camera somewhere doing this stuff. No?
Yeah, now actually, I'd be more amazed with it. I'm not saying I wasn't amazed, because I am amazed by it. Because I don't think they're in on it. Like, you know, Howie Mandel, he picked up they're not in on it. So, but
no.
I just find it very peculiar that the answer has to be, and he's holding it. It's not like he tells like Howie, pick something out, and she's going to guess what you have. He always has to hold it, if you notice, whatever the thing is. So even though it's so amazing, there's something about him holding that thing that's tipping her off. I don't know how, because, no, I don't think it's supernatural.
You're good on that, because you picked up on that. I didn't pick up on that. He was holding them. But I also thought that
somewhere
along
the line. Yeah, let's watch it next time. Next time they come around again, watch the fact that, if I'm right, that he holds it every single time. He don't want the people hold it. He holds it. So let's see if there's something in with that. But I thought, I'm not a big Simon Cowell fan. I know you are, from the days of American Idol. Once again, I went in there prejudging. I thought he actually did a pretty good job. I'm not going to go watch it, though. There's too much to watch. And then Big Brother's coming on. That's another 3 days a week. I mean, it's too many shows. But I thought Simon did pretty good. How come they switched seats? Did he want that seat and Howie had to give it up?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, this is Simon Cowell's show anyway. You know? He's an executive producer. He can do whatever he wants.
You think he wanted that seat?
The only bad thing is what happened with that Simon Cowell was that he wanted that job. He wanted Howard Stern out, and he wanted that position. And they found out about it when the Sony website got hacked. He was on there stating that he wanted that chair and he wanted Stern out. So that's the one thing why I turned against Simon Cowell, because he was, you know, against Howard Stern. But, So I kind of was looking at it that way when I was watching the show. But I have to say, you know, he did a pretty good job, and Howard wanted out anyway. So it worked out for the best.
It's just that you can't really compare some of these acts. I mean, the six-year-old kid was pretty funny, okay? I'm only 6 years old. He was good. He was funny. You know he's not going to win, but they put him through. And then you got a girl who comes out who's 10 years old. I knew that was going to happen, too, that she's shy and blah, blah, blah. Then she sings, like, unbelievable opera. I mean, you really can't compare those two acts. Not even the guy who's doing the Lady in Red. I mean, another thing I can't stand, it gets me sick of the show, is the sob stories. You know, the black guys come out, they act thuggish, they act rude, and then all of a sudden they sing, and then they're crying. And why are you so emotional? Oh, you know the struggle. I don't need all that. I don't need it.
You got it. Don't you have a heart? That's part of the thing, you know, what they go through to get on there, the passion that they have for what they do, that they're willing to do anything to get on the show, you know.
I don't judge them on that. I'm a judge. I don't judge on the story. I'm judging on the talent. The talent. I don't want the story. I can't stand when they do that. And they all go deliberately to act like they're tough, like they're going to be really rough, and, yeah, what's up? Yeah, that's us. Yeah. You know, that's usually the attitude. And then he wants to bring – that's all set up like this. And then one more thing. The last guy comes out. That's all for entertainment. The guy comes out there. He's going to do some amazing big act, and he dives himself into shaving cream.
Yeah, that's so hot. The guy, this is dangerous. Don't do this at home, you know. And then the guy's got the goggles, and he's got the swimsuits on, ready to do something, all of this. Just falls into a little kiddie pool with even
Christmas. And then one more thing in that show. You got the guy coming out with the fake, with the horrible toupee, You know, he's a karaoke singer, and he's got a fat wife. He's singing, I forgot what song he was singing. No, he's singing Elvis song. What song he's in? And she's over there, 300 pounds over there. She's shaking it and pulling it up, and Simon wants more of that. And come on,
yeah.
Brother.
Where's your sense of humor? That's funny. That's almost as funny as that one couple they were singing. Remember, you loved them.
That
was great. About, right?
With the Titanic.
Yeah, with the Titanic a couple seasons back.
Yeah,
I love that one. That was just as funnier.
That's different.
His wife there is shaking it up. He's like 300 pounds.
I mean, what was
man.
He singing? Diva Las Vegas? What song was he singing? Diva Las Vegas?
Yeah, Diva Las Vegas.
Singing? Oh,
Diva
my
Las
God.
Vegas, I think it was.
I tell you, I wish when we ever hit it big that we get the show where we can actually do like a Skype, or we could do a video show where we're on the radio, but people, we can put stuff like this on the screen. So the listeners and then the viewers can look at it, and so that way they know what we're talking about, because it's hard to explain when they don't know what we're talking about. They haven't watched it.
Yeah, that's the one bad thing is, you know, doing this, because if they would have seen that act with that guy singing and his wife shaking it up there in that white, I mean, it was funny. And you got to bring them on, have people to vote off later on.
I thought that my favorite act is that Titanic thing there when and then the second one I think is that guy Juan Carlos. Remember that fruity guy
skates.
With the spandex? He came out on the roller skates.
On the roller skates. my favorite act was that comedian who did those.
One more before we move on, brother. This is what got me into the show. The one guy who was a magician and he kept pulling out women's underwear. What was that guy? Remember that guy?
He had one of those things. You remember those cups, those plastic things that you smash, and then it gets short, and then he goes out there and he pulls it out, you know, like.
Brother, that to me is $1 million act. I can go on. I'll pay money to go see that guy. I think it's funny and it's entertaining.
Oh, I mean, it was that guy's. I can't even think of his name because if I did, I'd tell people to go on YouTube to look it up. You know what I mean? That guy was funny as all hell, and that was when who's that English guy that was on it? He didn't get the act, and I mean,
Piers Morgan.
Yeah, Piers Morgan. He
didn't get that one. He didn't get the little people. Remember those little people that came out
there?
Oh,
yeah, that guy was trying to throne that Piers Morgan. No sense of humor.
and then how he put them in his dressing room. I tell you.
One thing you're gonna know now, you can do more practical things because Howard's not there. That he didn't want none of that crap. He just wanted to get there to judge. But now that he's gone, you know, you're gonna see more things like what happened at the end of the show when they got all the shaving cream on everyone. You're gonna see more of that.
So anyway, that was entertaining. Yeah.
One more thing. What about that guy with the screen?
With the who? Yeah.
The screen, the beard in the background, the screen, the guy, the Japanese guy.
Oh,
those
acts never seem to win, though. Well, they used to, no, I take that back. The Japanese guy, I think 2 years ago, won something like that. But that's amazing. That's amazing what that guy did. That's talent.
Yeah, that we can't even explain. You have to see it, but that was fantastic. Better and better, those acts are getting better and better.
And then the other one that I don't like when the guy puts the pitchfork up his nose, then he puts a 10-pound bar on his nose and he hangs with the thing shoved up his nose. I don't get into that. I don't know why that even goes through.
That thing went up his nose, the hook, and came out of his mouth.
The hook. It came out of his mouth. Pick it.
His mouth. And he's hanging a barbell or whatever on top of that.
I want the listeners. I want Mom to come in and think about that. This guy shoved, what was it? What did he shove up there? Like a hook? A meat hook?
Yeah, one of those giant fishing hooks or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shoved it right up his nose and it came out of his mouth. And then he's hanging.
He's hanging.
it's like a car accident or something that you don't want to look, and then you keep looking. And you see the judges, they say, no, and then they keep looking.
Oh, yeah, you have to look on this thing. But I think it was Mel B or whatever. She didn't look at it at all, and they asked them to explain what happened. But it's tough to watch when you see somebody sticking up a giant hook to your nose and out your mouth and then hanging up on it and putting something on there and hanging it.
Yeah, that was it's something. I would not vote for those. But you know, it's a talented. There's a talent involved in that. I mean, how many people can do that? I mean,
they gotta have like each category: danger acts, you know, singing acts, dancing acts.
Yeah, they gotta have those. But the danger acts never really have a shot. I don't think that you can't. It's not feasible. Some of these things that they for a Vegas act, you know, and. Anyway, nice Aletha to join us in the last 3 minutes, unless maybe he's listening on the computer and he just popped in on the chat room, Aletha. But we were talking about Ali today, and we just finished up a little AGT, and that pretty much was the show today. And then we're getting down near the end there, brother. Got a few minutes left. Anything else you want to talk about last minute? Anything you want to shout out before we get ready to go?
Yeah, first I want to say it's a shame that what's happening to your guy. You know, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm not a Mets fan. And I always, you know, hate the Mets. But one guy I always liked on the Mets was David Wright. And a shame what he's going to. You know, his career is pretty much over. Now with the herniated disc, the back problem, I mean, it's, you know, I understand that his love for the game has been there for 12 years with the Mets, and they're finally getting good. And it's a shame to see what's happening with him and his back. But one guy I can't Mark Teixeira, once again, we can't count on. Where's the neck?
Yeah.
I always got some articulation. Whatever with the leg.
I kind of saw that one coming with him, though. I didn't cut you off there. But David Wright, I have to agree with you 100% with that one. I mean, that is a class guy. I mean, seriously. I mean, I got on his case a lot of times, not really clutch. But, I mean, the team they had was stunk. Except in 86, I'm on my mind, medicine. 2006, 2007, they had a decent team. They, you know, then they had crap. But there's a guy who is, you know, you have to like David Wright. You just can't dislike him. But that is the thing what's going on with him.
Stand-up guy, always in front of the camera.
Yeah, stand-up
never
guy.
Shy. You know what I mean?
No.
Good
no,
or bad.
Answer the questions. Yeah. All right, there, brother. Well, let's get down to final thoughts.
Okay, final thoughts. I just want to let you know that Carbine Mugarakarusus, these tennis people, can I have regular names? You can't even read these things. Anyway, won the tennis today against the Arena. Carbine Mugarakarusus.
Good.
Won the beat Arena today in the French.
Good.
So I want to get that out. All right, anyway, I want to say there was a good show on TV. Now new shows that people want to watch. One is Outkast. The other one is Preacher. So if you want to watch a couple good shows, I recommend those. Anyway, thanks for listening, no matter where you're listening around the world. We appreciate it. Tell your friends about the show. And great job there, bro. Adios, muchachos, and everybody. Take it easy.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Mom, Camille, Lito, you got in. We always appreciate you listening. Everybody who's listening on demand. Now, listeners is increasing. I think I've mentioned that, on demand. So let's listen live if you can. I know maybe Saturdays are a little difficult, but if you can make some time, 30 minutes live, so maybe we can see you and hear from you. So we'll be back next week. Hopefully my voice will be better. So for Gigi, this is NG. The great Dave Mason. Good night, America.
About the women, the booze that I've been drinking, days that I've been spinning, something is missing from my experience.